Hey everybody, Rich Grisham here. I just want to say, first of all, thank you so much for being a listener of the Press Room podcast. It means everything to me that you have been with us for so long. And tonight's episode, as you'll hear, is in some ways the most strange one we've ever done because of everything that's going on in the world, in which you are completely aware. So I just want to say this. I didn't quite know what to do to start the episode. You know, these episodes are sponsored by Out of the Park Baseball, the company that I work for. Out of the Park Baseball 21 is going to be available in a week, and we're all incredibly excited about that. And everybody associated with the company and with the game and with the sport of baseball is excited about it. And we don't know what's going to happen with our favorite sport and with everything else going on in the world. So I don't really know what to do other than to say thank you for listening to the show. If you'd like to support the show, please, the best way to do that is to support Out of the Park Baseball and Out of the Park Baseball 21. And I hope everybody is safe out there. And I hope that in the not too distant future, we can get back to what we all love doing all the time as we would normally go about our business. So thank you for being a listener. Again, if you'd like to support us, you can check out of the Park Baseball 21, available now for pre-order. And it comes out a week from Friday. And I just hope that everybody out there listening is able to be safe. And we're going to go ahead and do our show this week. Thank you for being here and enjoy the show. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Press Room Podcast. My name is Rich Grisham. I'm so happy to be here with two of my friends, Brian Weedy and Mills Gaming TV, Chris Mills. I mean, there's nine different names that we have for you. Before we jump into the show, though, we just wanted to sort of recognize that things are happening around us right now that are completely spiraling out of control at a rate that no one really understands. And obviously I'm talking about the coronavirus and its effect on sports and effect on conferences and video games and our industry and people and lives and everything. So we were planning on having a really fun episode this week talking about a couple of really great, one great story and one great game. And we're still going to do that. We just, you know, there's no easy way to do this other than to say, hey, we recognize that what's happening. And as we record this, it's late Wednesday Eastern time zone. And just in the last hour, the NBA season has been suspended, for example, right? Like that's where we're recording this. This was supposed to come out Friday. We're putting it out basically the same night that we're recording it. I'm rambling because nobody knows what to say. But other than the fact that we just want to say, hey, look, we recognize what's happening. We're all freaked out. It's crazy. We're concerned about our families, our friends, our livelihoods, everything. But at the same time, we also just want to at least have a little bit of fun. And that's what we're going to do. And so, again, we recognize what's going on. And, you know, we're all impacted in different ways, right? Brian, you are living at one of the epicenters in the United States of this right now, right? Like, so before we jump into it, I'm sure you have something you want to say as well.
Well, it's definitely been surreal around here because we started to see the ramifications of everything happening first, it seemed. You know, there's the cluster in Kirkland, which is only about 25 minutes away from where I live. I've passed through that area many, many times. And my friend's daughter, her school, they just closed down in recent days. You go out and traffic is not the level of traffic you're used to. There really is no, we here in Seattle, we have terrible traffic, really from 2:30 to 6:30 on weekdays. You can't get anywhere. Now the traffic is like weekend level of traffic. It's, you can pretty much sail through. It's unbelievable how quickly everything is developing. And, going back to when this first started, really, it was interesting. The first case was in my county, and no one really knew what to think of it at that time. But then the weeks that followed, I'd go out and I'm like, I wonder if I can find hand sanitizer. No, you can't. You can't find any hand sanitizer. You go on to Amazon looking for hand sanitizer. No, not unless you're willing to pay some random seller hundreds of dollars for a few bottles of it. I think I'll make hand sanitizer. And then you go and you can't find alcohol on store shelves. It's unreal. And it's definitely frightening. I mean, you can take precautions, as many precautions as you want, but right. It doesn't protect you from it. We can be in the age range that it's not really a life and death thing.
So but we you still do think, not. Right.
Yeah. Right.
You don't
right.
know.
We
Nobody
don't
knows.
Know for sure.
No. Absolutely.
But you can still. You can still pass it on to people
sure.
that you don't want to pass it on to. And it's just, yeah, it's the uncertainty of everything is really unprecedented. And I remember going back to, what was it, early 2000s or something. It was the bird flu, SARS, right? And I remember how everybody just took that as a joke. And that's how it felt like this was at first, too. Like, oh, come on. And now we see, obviously, E3 being canceled. Any event, whether it's we're talking, you know, all of sports now or video games, which we cover and we talk about extensively, it's going to reach everywhere. And it's a very shaky feeling right now, I think, for everybody. And you don't really know what to do or what you can do beyond just trying to protect yourself as well as you can. But I mean, my friend is a nurse and has been telling me for weeks that this is going to probably get out of control. And it's unnerving, to say the least.
Very much Very much
And yeah, and we want to talk about games, and we will. And that's, like you said, that's fun stuff. But this is affecting, it's not going to cancel MLB The Show. It's not going to cancel, you know, but it is potentially going to affect, look, NBA season is stopped right now. It's going to affect revenues for 2K Sports. Now, maybe it'll go up because people will be at home. I don't know. But a lot of what 2K thrives on is that reaction to what happened last night in the NBA, or the reaction to what's going to happen in the postseason. Those are the you know, critical times for the success of the game. And then you have, obviously, games in development. Can you have development teams working on a game in a studio environment? We may see delays because of that.
There's no doubt. You'll see everything. Like, you know, again, Out of the Park Baseball comes out a week from Friday. Now, it's software delivered digitally over the internet, so we feel very confident that everything is going to be fine, but we don't know. Nobody knows. MLB, like, these networks, right, these are all run by people. People run everything, right? Like, yes, a lot of stuff is automated, but ultimately, when you want to produce a software, you need people all down the line. You need people at your distribution partners, not just in your studio, right? So, like, again, we're sort of assuming things that, you know, a week or two ago, we were not assuming that the NBA season would be suspended, you know, immediately, at, you know, 2 hours after an incident, right? So, like, you know, it's again, no one's trying to be, you know, alarmist or anything like that. It's just, you know, we strongly believe that Out of the Park Baseball is going to come out, and MLB The Show is going to come out, and Animal Crossing is going to come out, right?
But I'll tell you.
It depends on people, and those people got to be pressing the buttons of machines that are running. And, you know, again, you got to – there's this strong chance all that's going to happen. But at this point, right, I'm not assuming anything anymore.
No. I mean – it was last night where here in Seattle the governor announced that crowds of 250 plus would be banned. So we knew the Mariners were going to be opening the season, or at least at the time we thought the Mariners were going to be opening the season without fans in the stadium. Or playing, apparently another option would be to play down in Arizona at Spring Training Park. And then within 24 hours, you have to be thinking, we went from that to other teams or other cities banning, like San Francisco, to the NBA shutting down. And the thinking now is probably more likely than not MLB is going to follow. And you just by the time this podcast is posted, things may have changed dramatically, too.
That's exactly right. That's why I say, like, we make assumptions that things are going to happen. But at this point, you know, everything's on the table. And again, I'm not trying to be fatalistic. Mills, I'm sure you want to say something as well here, too. But, you know, other than asking you, is there anything you want to say? I don't quite know what to ask you before we get into what we're here to talk about on the fun side.
I'm here to stay home for the next 2 weeks and play MLB The Show and OOTP and all the other games coming out. Neo 2. There's all kinds of games coming out. Stay home.
So you're self-quarantining, right?
Well, I will say this, right? Yes. And again, not to be weird, but look, we also live in an age where we have incredible vast amounts of entertainment at our fingertips. If you got to stay home, right? If you're somebody who is blessed enough to have the income to have a television, a video game system, right? Like, you know, we talk about it all the time, Brian. Video gaming is an expensive hobby, but if you're in and you've got a PlayStation or an Xbox or a Switch, and you got a phone or a TV, between Netflix and Hulu and all of that and Amazon and then the Xbox stuff, you know, the subscriptions and the PlayStation subscriptions, like, and the music that you have. It's amazing sort of how you can, if you want to, you know what, I'm just going to stay in my house for a few weeks and just play incredible amounts of games or watch incredible amounts of TV. Like, it ain't like it would have been 25 years ago if this happened. There would have been a lot more people going stir crazy. It's kind of weird, right? I don't even know what my point is other than I was thinking that today. I was like, wow, at least like you've got all of this stuff that you can watch to be entertained or play. Anyway.
Well, I was just going to say, and streaming is about to see an uptick in views, right?
Everything, like, you would think.
I thought I was going to say earlier, this is what, you know, when esports steps in for the actual sports, but you can't have esports events either. So it's just going to be a lot of people at home. Looking for entertainment when sports is usually the distraction that we have for those disconcerting times, right? And now it seems to be going away.
Well, so we're all human beings, right? That's what it comes down to. Everybody we're talking about is are human beings, whether you're an NBA player, a Major League Baseball player, or, you know, one of the three of us, right? It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, this is just about human beings. And I don't think this is going to be some massive, you know, global calamity, but it's definitely something that is going to have a major impact on us for a long time. There's no doubt about that, one way or the other. This is a once in a, you know, in 100 years kind of a thing. Strange, and this, again, I don't want to dwell on this stuff, but about 3 or 4 months ago, I read a book, and I might have talked about it on the show, called War, the Plague, and the World Series. About the city of Boston in September or October. I think it was the city of Boston in October of 1918, which was the hub of a lot of things, the hub of a lot of training for World War One. It's where the 1918 Red Sox played the World Series against the Chicago Cubs. And there was just a lot going on. It also was the epicenter of the American breakout of the you know, the Spanish flu that raged from 18 to 20 and, you know, decimated the population. And this is before the coronavirus came out. This is like late fall. And it's strange, some of the parallels that are in that book to this one. It's strange. I have no idea what made me read the book other than the title sounded interesting. And by the way, it's a great book. It was a great book.
Well, like, I just listened to an episode of the Rewatchables podcast where they talked about the movie Contagion, which I remember seeing when it came out originally, and it was like 10 years ago, and how unbelievably close that is to have basically predicted what's happening now. Now, not to the extent, that was a much more deadly virus in that movie, but the way it's transmitted, the way it's spreading, the reaction to it in some sense, it's unbelievable.
Anyway, all right. Everybody gets where we're coming from. Okay. So let's have some fun. All right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you.
Mills. This is why I love the sports video game world. The couple of days before the launch of the baseball games, right? Couple of days, everyone in the sports video game community is pumped. You're pumped. I'm pumped. We're all pumped, right? All the games are coming out. here comes 2K. Oh, guess what? We're back in the NFL game. Just want to let you know today, this week. Come on. Are you kidding me? That's how you do it? That's when you do it? I love this business. What a bold, gutsy move by 2K announcing that they are back in business with the NFL.
Well, and it's funny because the first announcement they had was Ronnie 2K on his Twitter page
for
him at an NFL game. That just shows you kind of where we are in the world today, that it took their community manager going up and putting a picture of him that was obviously taken months ago, but just casually at an NFL game. And then it goes into a lot of content creators taking it and running with, oh my God, this means NFL 2K1 or 2K21. And like, no, it's not exactly that. And there's so many details that were left out originally. And then Ronnie replies to it with all the rules and like what they're going on, because somebody obviously told him. And then 2K comes out with it. And then obviously all the outlets come out with it. And Twitter becomes what Twitter is.
Oh,
it's all conjecture. It's all, I hate Madden. Let's go 2K. The Madden guys are all not official. Like the Madden fans are all like, oh, 2K sucked anyway. It's not a big deal. It's simulation. It's non-simulation. It's football. It's arcade. It's not a video game. It's real life. I've got a football in my hand. I don't know. It's just, it's constant. And it's so hard to keep track of these days with the way social media is, but it was hilarious. It was like a huge energy boost to everybody when we're already on edge because of baseball season, because of sports going on. And then, like you said, 2K just comes up and like, hi guys.
Guess what?
Yeah. Remember us?
Guess what, Brian? Not only was it amazingly timed and very interestingly presented, but then, you know, I love the Wall Street Journal. It's on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. I'm watching ESPN. It's on the ticker of ESPN. It's not just a Ronnie 2K thing. This is massive across every news and sports platform. I was very surprised that it made, and on one hand, very surprised. Like, seeing that on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, the electronic front page, that also meant something big time, right?
Well, it's an easy story to sell and present to the, well, I was going to say the general public or the gaming public specifically, that 2K and the NFL are back, right? And that's essentially what you saw a lot of outlets run with as like the return of NFL 2K. So that's an easy headline to roll with, and it's going to bring in viewers, and without really getting into the details of what it actually is. But you're right. It is a massive deal. You saw things trending on Twitter. What I actually saw, maybe I only saw it at a certain time, was that Madden was the thing that was trending, not 2K. That Madden was trending because most people were saying, good, this is the end of Madden or whatever. It's like, this is not actually what the story is. But it is, it definitely was interestingly timed, and rolled out, because we're talking about, okay, they said the first game they would come out with would be in 2021. So that would be if you're going with the NFL season, that would be like in August, or we're, you know, 18 months, 16 months, whatever it is, out from whenever we would see the first game from them too. So there's a long runway really until we find out what this is going to mean. And then all the details that came out later, things like, I believe it was Polygon and Sumit Sarkar who had the info that
who?
They don't have.
Never heard of him.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. He's been
around
a few
times. Love you, Sumit. Love you, Sumit. We all
I believe he was the one who had the info that, yeah, they have the NFL license for the teams, you know, the uniforms, things like that. But they don't have, as far as we know at this moment, a deal with the NFLPA. So they don't have the actual NFL players. So when we talk about, okay, this is going to be non-simulation games, there's different types of non-simulation games that you can come up with. Arcade style games is the most evident one, the one that everyone jumps to and seems to think that primarily that they will go that route, is that how do you do that if you don't have the real players? Will people actually, what's more important? Can you, there are a lot of mobile games that have NFL licensing, but not NFLPA. I think it's a tough sell like that. So you would have to go maybe the route you see in a NBA 2K, which is there's, here's a story mode and here you're playing with fictional players around you, or here you're creating a guy and you're going through and playing in the park against other people. Like, you don't necessarily need the real players to make a game work. But with this initial announcement, I think everybody naturally jumps to the idea of, okay, 2K is back. NFL 2K is back. They've got the NFL on board. They got the players on board. They're going to compete with Madden. They're going to knock Madden out. They're going to get the exclusive licensing next year. And then it's going to be all 2K from here on out. And we're way far, way far away from anything like that.
Yeah. And the other thing is, it's almost, to me, it's not so important what 2K is doing with the NFL in 2020 or 2021. It's the fact that they're doing something with the NFL, because mm-hmm. then that opens up long-term possibilities that weren't there before this deal started. And look, you guys know I love NBA 2K. It battles with the show every year for my favorite console video game. Not sports console video game. My favorite console video game. It's between those two games. So there's nobody better at what they do than 2K, in my opinion, at least, when it comes to big-time licensed sports games. Now, the WWE series has had its challenges, but I also have a feeling that they're going to get that where they want it to be, too. Those things take a lot of time. So that, to me, is the bigger deal. Because if you're making a NFL game, then you can do a lot with that. When you're not actively making an NFL game, we've talked about it a lot. What's the biggest barrier to entry? The biggest barrier to entry, is the fact that to make something plausible, like an 11-on-11 football simulation game, if you're starting from scratch, it's not an insurmountable task, but oh my gosh, it's as probably as close to it as you could have in this day and age of making video games. So Mills, again, to me, it's not so much, oh, we're making our first game, which we're not going to talk about much in 2021. It's, hey, we're in business with the NFL. And to me, that's a huge signal, like, look out, boys. Things are about to get really interesting.
Well, and the thing is that we've always known about the exclusive license. We've always known that there was loopholes to get into it. We've said this on this program that, there are ways that 2K or other companies could have got in. They just don't want to. And I think this is the first time I can remember recently of hearing the exclusive license is separated between simulation and non-simulation. And like you said, no matter what it is, 2K is talking NFL. They're not talking football. They're not talking, whatever that was, 2K8 for
or right? Like, I've seen a couple of people bring up, oh, 2K in the XFL. Look, there is no way that 2K, who is the world's richest and most profitable maker of video games, Grand Theft Auto on its own is like one third of the GDP of a small country, right? There's no way that somebody like that would make a XFL game, right? That was never going to happen. The numbers never would have made sense. So, sorry. Go ahead, Greg. Go ahead, Mills.
You're absolutely right. And I'm a huge XFL fan, but their viewership's gone 63%.
But it's not even, that's just, it's there'd be no, there's no upside to making an XFL video game, right? There's none. They just started. It's nothing against the XFL. They just started. Good for them for trying.
Oh, there were people calling for an AAF game after like the first week of that,
like
league.
20 so or 30 people, not
you can't, not real people. They're not throwing money away on risking on something they aren't sure will be around in 3 or 4 years,
because people love the NFL. They don't love any football. They love the NFL. They love big time college football, right? But you gotta be big time. So anyway, Mills, keep rolling.
Sorry. And we've talked this before, like, if you're gonna make a football game, you better make one that's going to hit well, because it's going to take them a while to get an engine into the game. I think a lot of people are assuming, oh, they can just bring the 2K engine up. And I'm like, no, like, that's not what's going to happen. If they did that, they would get destroyed on not only social but reviews and player players, I don't think would want that. I think that if you're going to create a brand new IP like that, it's going to be as a 2K game or as an NFL game. And I think here's where the issue comes in. Now we can start talking about simulation versus non-simulation, because they're talking to the NFL. They're going to make this either arcade or management sim or mobile game. I know mobile has been brought up multiple times in this. They're going to make one of these games, and it's going to be the start of, yes, hey, we can do this.
Exactly.
If we can be successful with this.
Yep.
Maybe the NFL will loosen the reins on the exclusive for the simulation, and we can move into that next. I don't know, because they've been really quick to re-sign with EA a couple times. That exclusive agreement's been re-signed a couple times. So if it's very successful in the non-simulation app, and that's the other thing, does 2K want the simulation license? I know there's been rumors that a lot of people want a shot at it, but if they're really successful with the non-simulation license, do they want to push themselves to the next step like that?
So here's a couple things. Number one, first of all, EA, right? They have the Madden license. I like Madden. I enjoy Madden. I play Madden right now. I'm in an online league. I like it, okay? I'm not anti-Madden in any way, shape, or form. They were very quick to say, hey, just so you know, we're good, right? License, we got the exclusive sim license, and Madden 20 is the most successful version ever, which was a really, really interesting thing for them to say, and I'm sure it's accurate. And so that I thought was interesting. But here's the thing, okay? I don't think a non-sim NFL game is going to sell. And
all evidence would back you up on,
right,
that.
And I don't think, by the way, that 2K thinks that a non-sim game is going to sell. They're a lot smarter than anybody else when it comes to what it will and won't sell in today's modern video games, license or not. I just think that they're getting into it long term, and this is the start of a long term plan for them to take over the NFL, just like they have taken over the NBA. That's what I really think this is.
And Rich, beyond just whether it would sell is whether you can make money post release, right? Like, it is very, not only is it difficult to sell an arcade game, that's why you haven't seen major publishers do it until recently, 2K with NBA 2K Playgrounds, which they acquired. They didn't develop that initially. It's because you're not going to be able to make hundreds of millions on a card game mode in an arcade game. Like, they had to adapt and basically sell all the players in the sequel for $10 or whatever it was, instead of going the route of trying to get a dollar here, a dollar there, $5 here, $10 here, $20 here, $100 from this person. It doesn't work like that with those games. It's really just the primary sim games.
Right.
And so it's, yeah.
And look, I'm just me. I don't pretend to speak for anybody. But Mills, I'm not even interested in a silly 2-on-2 or 3-on-3 game. I mean, it might be fun for 15 or 20 minutes, but that's not what I'm really interested in. Maybe I'm missing something, but like, can you see yourself investing dozens or hundreds of hours in some sort of, relatively speaking, lighthearted sports game?
I don't think I would, but after hearing what Superstar KO did, I don't think I know a whole lot about the sports gaming atmosphere sometimes. Like, Superstar KO is their number one played mode now.
But that's because people already own Madden.
Already
like,
own the
would game. They go out and buy it on its own?
That's what I agree with. I don't think it sells on its own. I think if they had it and said, hey, look, we can attach this in. I tend to lean towards the reason Superstar KO mode was made was because Madden was missing an audience, and the NFL knew that. Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is 2K can do this and say, hey, look, we can capture that audience too. Give us a chance on the other side. I think they're working backwards of what Madden did. Madden got the core audience in, and then now they're looking at all, like, a lot of the casuals to bring in. 2K is going to take their opportunity with, again, they said it in their press release, they're going to target the casuals, and that's going to be, hey, look, we can get these guys. The problem, like you said, I don't know who buys an NFL game that's just like Street.
But
I think it sells. Don't be wrong. I think like an NFL Street game sells, but I don't think it sells anywhere near what they're going to need to like be like, hey, look, we can do this.
But now, again, this is I'm just thinking out loud. Maybe it doesn't even need to sell, because what if it's just part of a Xbox Game Pass subscription service, right? What if it you know, if it is a relatively speaking a casual game, a sim game, and it's on consoles, which, by the way, it might not be a console game. It might just be a mobile game, although I have a feeling it'll be a console game. You know, maybe if the way that it's done, right, it's not a massive build-out, and if you put it on, you know, I mean, you're 2K, right? Like, if you're Microsoft or Sony, you know, you want to be in business with 2K, right? They're the world's most successful maker of video games. Maybe it doesn't even need to sell. If it gets on both of those services and the arrangements between all the parties work out, then that's the definition of success, right? Like, that could be part of this equation.
I think their number one focus right now is a mobile game. I honestly believe that, because
boy, we're going down the Joe Montana football route then, if that's what they do.
Yeah, oh, no. That was one person with no credentials making bold statements. This is one. This is the world's most successful video game.
There would be an uprising, Rich, if the first 2K NFL thing is a mobile game.
I do think that it's going to be I don't think it's one property. I think they're going to do multiple properties, but right. I think their main focus has to be a mobile game, because just for business, like, mobile game atmosphere is where you can make a ton of money. Mm-hmm. You can make a ton of money in mobile, and that's what a lot of mobile games do. And it's more worldwide. Everybody has a mobile phone. You start with the mobile, you get the next, then you move the next step up. I think they're going to simultaneously develop both a console and a mobile property. But again, neither one of those is going to, like, it's literally just to show what they can do. Like, they're purposely, that's why they said they're very purposely targeting casual fans. Once they get that in there, then they can go back to the NFL. I agree with you. I think the plan long term is high NFL. We can do this. Open up the exclusive license to multiple developers. But you're going to have to convince the NFL really, really hard with how well Madden's done.
Right. And that's the thing, is Madden is done very well. And it's a good game and it sells well. And I'm sure it generates plenty of revenue and it's been a positive relationship. I also think that the video game relationship with the NFL, it's such a small part of the NFL's revenue. Right, like the NFL revenues involve numbers that start with a B, and I don't think Madden revenues start with a B. So just that in and of itself. Now, it's certainly visible and it's important, but you know, and even with the NBA, that's one of the things that surprised me the most about the NBA is how the NBA has embraced you know, NBA 2K, the league and the esports and stuff. Not surprising me so much that they did it, but just that how much marketing muscle they put behind it. Because video gaming, while huge and obviously is a huge part of our lives, relatively speaking, the dollars it generates are you know, at the individual game level, not the entire industry, but the individual games, they're very successful, generate tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. But again, compared to the TV deals and the advertising deals, you know, they start with the words that start with the letter B. Big difference there too. So, but anyway, yeah, it's so interesting, you know, because these are really, Brian, these are the only two companies that could do this. You know, 2K has the war chest, right? If anybody can really say, you know what, I'm going to invest what it's going to take to make an NFL game, it's 2K, Take-Two. Through between NBA 2K and Grand Theft Auto, right, just those two, and Red Dead Redemption, those three properties are just generate tremendous revenues. And then EA obviously is in the business, has the game, has the foothold, has the established, right? Like, so, and they're, again, a multi-billion dollar corporation. Brian, these two going at it, just full-fledged in the NFL, they're really the only two that could do it, right? There's no one else that could even show up, I don't think, at this point.
Right. No one else that would have interest in doing it, because it takes a massive amount of resources. And I think you need to have that background to have credibility too, bringing it out. There's a lot of You can find NFL branded mobile games, a bunch of them. You know, but people only generally play the Madden one, or they'll find the ones that they like that are unlicensed. And it's just it is a lot of money now they're making a lot. They're making a lot, especially 2K on NBA 2K. They can invest, but like you kind of alluded to earlier, Take-Two doesn't throw money away either. They're not interested in that.
Nope.
If they're doing this, they have a long-term
they know what they're doing.
Plan.
Yes.
No doubt. And we probably don't understand the scope of what that is quite yet. But we'll start to see it develop when we find out, first of all, what these games are going to be.
So, So, Brian, and I'm going to ask both of you this. What do you want this game to be? There's a game coming out by 2K with the NFL on it next year. What do you want it to be?
Well, it's interesting. How is non-simulation defined, right? Like there is the game we're going to talk about here in a few minutes, Super Mega Baseball 3, would probably be categorized as an arcade game, but it's a sim game, right? So who's going to determine that is a big question, and what that means, how you can definitively say, okay, this is not a simulation game, is one thing I have to factor into that. But going back, and I mentioned this really the game that comes to mind, and it's the only sport that 2K has done anything non-sim in. I looked at their library of titles from the past that 2K Sports has done that hasn't been sim, has been in baseball. They did some family-friendly type things.
NBA Playgrounds.
Okay, yeah, right, until they acquired NBA Playgrounds, right. So that's different now. But besides that, the only thing they'd ever done in the past was in baseball. And the one that stands out to me is the Bigs. If you had – it doesn't have to be NFL Street necessarily, but if you had a game that was essentially what the Bigs was, which was – look, it had sim elements to it, but it had over-the-top stuff on top of it, which is a lot like what Super Mega Baseball is. I think – that could work. Now, I don't know if that would be a fun game. We've had a lot of arcade NFL games that have burned out, that burn quickly. NFL Blitz, NFL Tour from EA in the last decade. Those type of games have not done well long term. They're fun at first. They don't really last. And you go back further, NFL Street ended in 2006. People liked it, but apparently not enough that it made sense for EA to keep making them. So I don't know what it's going to mean, because I don't know what non-simulation means in terms of this contract, how they have, because there has to be some parameters to that. And then once we have that box of what they can work in, I'll have a better idea. But if this could be what the Bigs was to baseball, that would make me happy.
Oh, the Bigs, Brian Wiedeye, the Bigs. What a great game.
I love it. It's one of my favorites.
That's one of my all-time favorite games. All right, I don't want to get off on a five-minute.
You got to do some version of NFL pinball, right? The home run pinball.
I'm there. All right, Mills, what do you want this game to be?
I've got zero idea what I want this game to be. I would want something maybe that allowed you to like create a player, maybe. From everything I understand, the simulation definition, it revolves around 11-on-11 play. So I guess we're going to have to, like, NFL Street is, or an NFL, or like a management sim almost. I wouldn't mind a management sim, but then they're competing with,
That's not a console game, though. You're not going to put the NBA version of Football Manager on the PlayStation. Or now, if you want to put it on a PC, sure. That you know. But again, I don't get the sense. I have no information to leave, you know, no idea, but I don't get the sense that's what they're going for here. Plus, those games take a long time to get started and to release.
Well, and that's what I'm saying is, like, you're going to put all this time into these games for like casual players. It's got to be like I said, a Street or a Blitz game. And past that, I mean, the second they put non-simulation, I'm not going to lie, my interest went down. I mean, just because it doesn't feel like something I'm going to play a ton of. If it's not 11-on-11, like I said, the only thing I wouldn't would be Blitz. And as we discussed earlier, I'd play Blitz for a good month probably, but there's not enough content behind it to really hold on to something like that. Unless they're going to make like NBA Jam's coming out and like Arcade 1-Up, I'd get an Arcade 1-Up Blitz machine. But for console, I just don't see what they could possibly do to bring NFL fans in that, like, again, like Brian said earlier, it's who are you marketing to? You're not going to market, and people aren't going to buy just a Blitz game. So I have literally no idea what I'd want to see out of that.
So, you know, as, and again, you mentioned this, Brian, we're going to transition to this in a minute, but Super Mega Baseball as a, just a video game is great. So if somehow the 2K guys make some sort of a NFL experience that sort of combines the accessibility of a game like Super Mega Baseball and the license and the surprisingly deep gameplay, if they can somehow figure that out, then they'll really be on to something. It'll be fascinating to see what they happen. So, Brian.
Yeah. Let me just say one more thing. I find it interesting, you know, that we're going to have this standalone game or games. When you've seen the trend, obviously 2K can't do this because they can't make the simulation game, but you see the trend of, instead of arcade games on their own, you get arcade modes in the sim games, like Mills brought up with Madden, like you have in NHL and FIFA, which, you know, introduced like the FIFA Street, and you get, and NHL has the 3-on-3 type of mode. And so it's all being folded in because it's hard to sell those games on their own. It's hard. And then it's almost impossible to think of them being a digital revenue generator after that. So it's, but 2K clearly has some kind of plan, eventually we'll get a better idea what that's going to be.
All right. So moving from the gridiron to the diamond, Super Mega Baseball 3 was announced today, Ryan Weedeye. Your thoughts?
Well, it's exciting. You know, the first Super Mega Baseball came out in 2014. Then we had about a four-year wait until the sequel. And that this one is going to come in under 2 years from that last one. So it's going to come out in April. And it's, you know, we have loved the game. It's been among our top games every year that it's come out. And it does that. I think it's remarkable. It does that with the limitations of having come from a very, well, an independent studio, very small development team, and doesn't have league licensing. So they've kind of overcome a lot of that. And because the game is so fun and it's so well designed, and we've found so many things to appreciate about it. And it's exciting. It's got cross-platform play with all the systems and PC. I'm sure Mills is going to talk about what we don't really know a whole lot about it, but a brand new franchise mode. People are looking for a different type of franchise mode experience, might find something new here that they'll enjoy. And the only real drawback, which I noticed right away, is the price, $45. Now that's cheaper than most the $60 games is obviously it's cheaper. But like, for example, Super Mega Baseball 2 was $30. And if you had Xbox games with gold, you actually got it for free at release. So I wonder if we'll see something along those lines again, but the $45 could be a barrier, especially a few weeks. We don't know exactly when it's coming out in April, but a matter of weeks after MLB The Show, a lot of people will have just spent money on. So I'm curious to see how well it does in that sense, but I'm sure we're going to get a great game that's a lot of fun. And again, I mentioned it earlier, it looks like an arcade game and it has some elements of an arcade game, but it's really a pure sim underneath of that. And if you haven't played Super Mega Baseball before, I think you would find that to be the case and find a lot of great baseball to be played there.
So, and by the way, the guys, Scott Drader and Metalhead Software, they have a long, terrific relationship with us here at the Press Row Podcast. If you look back on our archives, Brian, there are at least half a dozen appearances by Scott, probably, you know, and certainly multiple deep conversations about the game. So we are super, super happy for Scott and everybody with Metalhead Software. Congratulations. Mills, talk to me, man. What did you think when you first heard Super Mega Baseball 3 was coming?
dude, I love Super Mega Baseball. As Brian said, Super Mega Baseball is this beautifully done, adjustable difficulty, quirky, campy, but still just can hardcore kick your butt if you really want you to. Yeah. Baseball sim in this, like, in this beautiful cartoonish exterior. Like, one of the things I retweeted today, I retweeted the announcement image, and the first reply I got was, that guy's bat is way bigger than his body. And I was like, I know. So, and I think a lot of people saw it and were like, oh, well, it's not MLB. I was like, it doesn't have to be. I think actually it not having the MLB license helps it in being this charming product. And adding in a franchise mode where they talk like progression, free agency, trades, all that stuff over a multi-year process. I think that was the only thing really missing from it in terms of mode wise, unless you want to really talk about like online stuff. I simply can't wait. And I agree with Brian. I think $45 is going to turn some people away from it. Especially being in April when everybody's playing MLB the Show or even RBI Baseball. At the same time, being that RBI will be out on the Xbox and on the Switch, which are properties where Super Mega Baseball would flourish. But I will definitely be getting it for Switch. And I simply can't wait. It is so good. It is user skill based. It really takes your inputs into it. Like I said, it's very, very customizable in difficulty. The ego, it's called the ego difficulty meter, right?
It is, yeah, absolutely one of the best sports gaming features ever made, really, I think.
I agree with you. And we've seen like AAA sports games try to attack difficulty levels or dynamic difficulty levels in that matter multiple times and not get it just right. I think Ego is the one in all of sports gaming that really gets that adjustable difficulty really perfectly.
I can't think of a non-licensed sports game that has been so well put together from a gameplay perspective. Again, I mean, you guys both mentioned it, but the core loop, like the pitching, the way that you pitch and the way that you're successful at it and the way that you hit, it's really accessible, yet also there's depth to it that presents a lot of fun and strategy from a gameplay level. And then again, the ego, as you said, really gives you the ability to do all sorts of things that you wouldn't. I'm going to say this. I love you, Scott Drader, right? You're a friend of mine. I respect you. I was hoping the art style would be different. I was hoping they'd look like regular people. I'm sorry, guys. That's just,
it's funny you say that, Rich, because one of the very first things when I got the release and they send assets along with it, one of the very first things I did was open up the screenshots to see what the game looked like. And I kind of had a hope that it would have a little bit of a different look. But I mean, I think it's important to represent that it's not just a regular baseball game without licensing, right? But it does. I understand why that look maybe is a little off-putting to some people.
Mills, what do you think about these players, the player art?
I actually love that the player art makes it stand out differently. I understand that when you look at the game, it portrays this arcade game where it's really not. It does feel like there was a direction of a baseball fan and like a cartoon book creator or artist. If you put those two people in the same room, that's what Super Mega Baseball comes out of. Like a baseball purist and like this just comic artist that's done it for 20 years. But I think it does that to set itself aside from being like MLB. I feel like if it was realistic looking and not licensed, I think that would go further against it. I just feel like it's like we talk about NFL games that are non-licensed that don't really get taken seriously. And I think that falls in the same place here, is that a lot of NFL games in the past have tried to take themselves seriously and make it look like real, or a lot of football games try to make themselves look real on the field, or like the ones that like NHL games. Let's talk about NHL. The NHL games that have been popular are like Super Blood Hockey, or the football game that really did well was Mutant Football League did well on PC because it's not trying to be a realistic football game and it's not trying to look like a realistic football game. It's trying to get into that niche. And Super Mega Baseball is still an indie game where I think the art style fits into that niche and fits the popularity.
Let me rephrase. I love the stadiums. I love the visuals, right? It's very bright, very, very dynamic game. I'm talking about the player models. Those player models, that you like those guys, Mills? You really do? Those weird giant heads with the strangely sculpted chins and stuff like that?
What I'd like to see, maybe some additions to make it. If you're going to go cartoon for me, I'm much more of like the superhero cartoon, not the weird shaped, like you said, body part cartoon.
Yeah, that's just okay. All right. I'm not going to harp on this anymore. So anyway.
You're good. Yeah, you're good. Like I said, I don't mind the cartoon style. I agree with you. I would rather see maybe a different, like I said, like a superhero style as opposed to, you know, just having the weird shapes in different spots.
Like you did it for two games. So change the player models for the third, please. I don't know. Okay. So other thoughts on Super Mega Baseball 3. Brian, what do you want from it, right? So we asked what you want. Like, obviously a bit about, what the features list, but like what do you personally, Brian, what do you want to get out of it? You're looking to play certain things? What are you looking personally to get out of Super Mega Baseball 3?
Well, I think there was some of this in Super Mega Baseball 2, but I think it more of a social experience, right? Like where we play together, I'm not sure if franchise mode is going to allow that, but I know with cross-platform play and everything, we'll have more opportunities to play. I think longevity out of it. I played the first Super Mega Baseball a ton. The second one, everybody loved it. I loved it. But I didn't seem to get as much out of it for whatever reason. That might be because I'm not as much into the customization stuff, which was a big addition in the sequel. I just don't take that time to put into it. I know a lot of people do, but it didn't do as much for me personally. But I'm just looking for something that lasts a little longer for me. But otherwise, I mean, it's such a great experience against the computer, how you can adjust your difficulty and be rewarded for playing on a tougher level. I think I just need a little more of the social experience from it.
Mills, again, sort of you chatted about this somewhat, but what are you personally looking at? Like, first of all, you're a content creator, right? Your livelihood is based on creating content, playing games, getting an audience, having fun, right? Like, is this big on your radar? Or is this more for your own personal fun? Like, what are you looking to get out of this game?
This would be more for my personal fun, but I would love to see like a 9-on-9 mode or like a 3-on-3 mode where Brian talks about social, being able to go head to head. I would love to see it be able to create multiple players in the games. It's something that no other baseball game can do right now. That's the type of matchmaking and the type of social that you really, I think, would be grabbed onto immediately. Set yourself aside, put something in your game that is not in anything else, and then say, hey, look, we have this great area where friends can play baseball together at any level that they want. We have a system that can handicap each individual player correctly. Here you go. You can play with get on your couch, play couch co-op, take your little brother online with you and play against some other people online. And it's not like this sweaty head to head competitive atmosphere.
Well, all right. Once again, thank you everybody for listening. Thank you, Mills, for being here. Mills, where can people see and watch and hear all the stuff that you're doing, my friend?
Upcoming twitch.tv/Mills, a lot of MLB The Show, well, baseball content in general. We're doing MLB The Show coming up. OOTP, when it comes out, we'll be on.
I like the sound of that.
You hear that? I like to hear that.
I like that.
Yep. So we'll be doing pretty much all baseball all the time for the next couple of weeks over there. And then twitter.com/MillsTwitch. And then also, for your best baseball content, you want to go to twitch.tv/OOTP developments.
You're a good man. You're a good man, Mills. Hey, Brian, Where can people follow all the stuff that you're doing these days, my friend?
Yeah, just Pasapadre on Twitter, whatever. I got so, it's we're getting to a more interesting time now. I have largely avoided. I still follow social media a lot, but I have not tweeted much in recent months. But now things are starting to pick up. So as long as I am healthy, yeah, follow me on Pasapadre on Twitter. Yeah.
So look, everybody, once again, thank you for just for being part of this community. Please be safe. Please take care of yourselves. Take care of your family. These are weird, strange times. We'll all get through this. We will. And we just appreciate everything that you have brought to us. And we hope that at least some of what we talked about tonight brought you a little bit of fun and enjoyment in some pretty tough days. So thank you, everybody. And be safe out there.